important. Actually, it's the Prabhupada said it's the most important aspect of our society, because it's about giving this knowledge out to others, this very, very valuable knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So we're going to read a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is, of course, the postgraduate study of the Bhagavad Gita. This is from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 22nd chapter, text 35. Etavajjama sapayam dehinam ihadehushu pranartha diyavacha shreya achanam seya achanam sada. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, this verse cited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu applies to human beings, not to animals, as indicated in the previous verse by the words Manusha Janma. These injunctions are for human beings. Unfortunately, human beings, although they have the bodies of men, are becoming less than animals in their behavior. This is the fault of modern education. Modern educators do not know the aim of human life. They are simply concerned with how to develop the economic condition of their countries or of human society. This is also necessary. The Vedic civilization considers all aspects of human life, including dharma, religion, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification, and moksha, liberation. But humanity's first concern should be religion. To be religious, one must abide by the orders of Krishna. But unfortunately, people in this age have rejected religion, and they are busy in economic development. Om Gyanatam Randasya Giranjana Salakaya Taksrum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukram Krotu Vatsalang Pungum Langhaya Tegrim Yet Kripa Tadaham Bande Shigurum Dinatarnam Vancha Kalpatubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanevya Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare. So the context in which this verse was spoken by Krishna is interesting. He was in Vrindavan with the cowherd boys, and the cowherd boys were expressing that they were hungry. So Krishna and Balaram, they told them to go to the yajnik brahmanas there in Vrindavan. They're doing a yajna, and asked them for some prasad. So they did that, and the yajnik brahmanas ignored them, didn't even acknowledge their presence. They weren't very nice. So they went back to Krishna and Balaram and said that they weren't interested in giving us any prasad. So he said, then you should go to the wives of the brahmanas. So they did that, and immediately the wives were very enthusiastic to give them prasadam. And even at the advice of the husband and the father and all the relatives, still they went to give prasadam to Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys. So Krishna, he states here in this verse that it's a duty of everyone to help others. How? With their life, prana. Actually, we should live to help others. Generally, people in this world, they live. Oh, one little point first. Please, everyone, turn off your cell phones. It can be a little distraction. So the duty of everyone, actually it's stated, Bharata Bhumite Hoyla Manusha Janmajar. that everyone who has taken birth in Bharatabhumi, right here, India, should help others in their spiritual lives. I think all of you are born here in India. So it's actually, according to this verse, it's your duty to help others. And the best way to help others is by giving this knowledge out to others. I'm from America, and I didn't know anything about the philosophy of India. I didn't know anything about Indians. Never saw an Indian, up to 1978. But then I was searching for God. I grew up a Christian, but there's not much information about God in Christianity, so I wasn't very impressed. So I started searching elsewhere. And by the mercy of Krishna, I found the Bhagavad Gita. And when I read the Bhagavad Gita, I understood, okay, here is God. Immediately, I started chanting Hare Krishna, and then I met devotees, and I moved into the temple shortly after that. So this is the power of these books. Now if you go to China, there's thousands of people chanting Hare Krishna and following these teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Wherever you go, Russia, there's thousands and thousands. The festival, there's two festivals in Russia. There's one in Russia, one in Ukraine. Of course, they didn't have it this year because of the war there. But in Ukraine, previously, there'd be 10,000 devotees. It's bigger than the Mayapur festival every year. Of course, now there's a war, so that's not happening. Hopefully, that stops soon. So all over the world, people are taking advantage of this knowledge. They're experiencing the happiness of serving Krishna. So this is the best way. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, just making one devotee of Krishna is more valuable than opening thousands of hospitals. Because when people go to the hospital and they get well, they become healthy materially, what do? When they get out of the hospital, they just go back to their own sinful ways again. But if someone becomes a devotee of Krishna, they become purified of all their material contamination, and they become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. So this is the power of this knowledge, of this welfare activity. And Prabhupada gives an example of, imagine there's a young man, and he's living on the streets, and he's completely poverty stricken, not enough food, just like you see sometimes. Yeah. So then one person comes by and he recognizes him and says, "Hey, wait a second, aren't you a son of a friend of mine, a very wealthy man? Why are you living like this? Here, let me help you." So he takes him to his home, and he brings him back to normal, and he takes him back to his father. And his father is so happy to see him now, because he was lost, living on the streets, drinking alcohol and just doing all nonsense. So imagine how happy the father will be with this friend of his that brought this destitute son out of his horrible condition. So happy. So this is the condition in the material world, that people are suffering in this material world due to material contamination and material desires and so much illusion. So if we go out to help them come back to their father, Krishna, imagine how happy Krishna is with you. So this is the mood of the pure devotees. This is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. He, here in India, he was distributing books. He was writing books. He was distributing books. Even when he was in New Delhi, he was distributing books, and he got heat stroke. He collapsed. Heat stroke. So he was ready to give his life. I mentioned earlier that we should all live to help others. And Prabhupada was not only lived to help others, but he was ready to die to help others. Two heart attacks on the Jaladuta going to America. So he was willing to die to help us, to help everyone. So we should also be willing to help others. We should help others. Because people are suffering so much. You know, this material world, it's a place of suffering. Just like a few hours ago, I hit my head. Now I have this cut on my head. I mean, how much can I enjoy my head? You know, you can't enjoy it, but it's cause of suffering. You know, this body is very vulnerable. It's cause of so much suffering. A friend of mine, he was at a Ratha Yatra, and he was doing some work at the Ratha Yatra, and one big post landed on his little toe, and crushed it. It had to be amputated. So how much can we enjoy our little toe? Huh? Can we enjoy our little toe at all? But it can be the cause of so much suffering. Right? So that's the nature of this body. It's a place of suffering. That's the nature of this world. Prabhupada was with some devotees on a morning walk, and there was a trash can there, big bin. And on it said, "Please put your trash here." And Prabhupada said, "Then you'll have to put the whole material world in there." Because that's the material world. It's not a nice place. It's trash. So we should do our business, which is actually to become purified. Like Prabhupada says in one purport. He said, everyone is like toys, like play toys in the hands of the material nature. Like puppets in the hands of the material nature. So we should all make determination to become free, to become released from these, from this clutches of Maya, and try to help others also. Most people, they don't think they're in Maya, just like we also, we didn't think we were in Maya. We were, trying to enjoy the material world. So people are in Maya. They're an illusion, thinking that they're this body, they're Indian or male or female, or so this is all illusion. So we should try to help them become released from this illusion. And while we're doing that, we're also becoming released from this illusory energy. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Ya idang palamang guyang madbhakte subhashati." He says, anybody that is distributing this very confidential knowledge is very, very dear to me, and there'll never be anyone more dear to me than such a person. So this distribution of this transcendental knowledge is very, very pleasing to Krishna. It's Krishna's soft spot. Do you understand soft spot? If you have a friend and there's something that he really, really likes, like glob jamuns or samosas or something, and you give him a big pot of glob jamuns, and you know he's going to be real happy. That's called a soft spot. Right? So that's Krishna's soft spot. If you go out and you distribute this knowledge, you're really pleasing Krishna. Just like if you give a big pot of glob jamuns to your friend that really likes glob jamuns. So Krishna likes it when we distribute this knowledge, because this is what is most needed. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, the only lack in society is Krishna consciousness. This is the big lack in society. This is what is needed. And Srila Prabhupada, his desire was that everybody become happy. I'll tell you a very nice pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Would you like to hear a pastime of Prabhupada? Prabhupada was in Mayapur, 1975. And Jayapataka Swami had just returned from Bangladesh. And he immediately went to Prabhupada's room and he told Prabhupada how happy the people in Bangladesh were to see us there doing Harinam and preaching Krishna consciousness. Because you know there's a lot of Hindus there, but it's a Muslim government, so they were suppressed, right? So they were so happy to see the devotees, so many devotees chanting Hare Krishna and preaching Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada was so happy to hear that himself. He said, and my desire is that everyone become happy. Sarva sukino bhavantu. This is the desire of the pure devotee. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was also in the room. And he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you are the greatest enemy of modern civilization. And Prabhupada replied, yes, World War III has already begun. So it's a war against Maya, against illusion. It's a peaceful war, no bombs. Actually, these are kind of like bombs. Because sometimes we distribute books, and the people just take the book and they put it in their bookshelf. But what's happening is it's ticking. Tick, 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 like a bomb. Yeah? And then finally they pick it up and they read it, and it destroys all their illusions, all their maya, and they, many times they turn out to be devotees of Krishna. So Prabhupada wrote a letter once to the devotees of one temple. He says, our temples are not places of eating and sleeping, but they are bases from where we send out our soldiers to fight against maya. And to fight against maya means to drop hundreds and thousands and millions of books on the laps of the conditioned souls. Just as during wartime, the bombs are dropping from the sky like anything. But these are peaceful. These are shanti bombs. And by reading these books, people become shanti. They become peaceful. They become satisfied. They become happy by reading these books. And all over the world, devotees are distributing these books. Last year, we crossed the 500 million books distributed on this planet. That's a lot of books. And a lot of people are benefiting. So I was asked to speak about book distribution here to encourage you to also get involved in this book distribution. It's very important. And what happens when you give Krishna is you get Krishna. You get Krishna more. We all want Krishna, right? It's not easy to get Krishna. But Prabhupada says in one purport that if someone preaches Krishna consciousness, then one very quickly gets realization of Krishna. You get realization of who Krishna is, of who we are. We get realization of what is actually beneficial for us. Just like in this verse that's mentioned, Shreyas. There's Shreyas and there's Prayas. So Shreyas means one's ultimate benefit. What is really best for us. And that is transcendental knowledge. And then there's Prayas, which is sense gratification. And this is generally what people want in this world, just like children. Children, they want immediate gratification. They don't want to go to school. They just want to play. Right? We all know that. We were also like that. Right? Nobody wants to go to school. Even Prabhupada, three people had to get Prabhupada. They had to grab Prabhupada to take him to school. He didn't want to go to school. So the mother had to hire three men to take him to school. He just wanted to play. So that's prayas, this immediate gratification. But the purpose of the human form of life is to attain the ultimate benefit, which is Krishna consciousness. So therefore we want to distribute these books so that people can get this ultimate benefit of Krishna consciousness. So actually, book distribution is a real adventure. It's such a nice activity. I've been distributing these books now for 37 years, And I can tell you that my most wonderful experiences in this lifetime have been on book distribution. Because really, really amazing things happen. I was once distributing books in Australia, in Brisbane, Australia, door to door. And one man opened the door, and he saw my Bhagavad Gita, and he said, "No, thank you. I'm not interested in your Bhagavad Gita. I worship Satan." "Oh, okay. You worship Satan. This book is about God, so you should know your enemy." He said, "Okay. Good point. All right, I'll take one." Yeah. So he took the Bhagavad Gita. Hopefully he was able to understand God is his actual best friend, not his enemy. So I was distributing books one time in New Zealand, also door to door, with one friend. And when I knocked on the door, one person opened the door and he said, "Oh, I have something for you." And I thought maybe he's a Christian, he's going to give me the Bible. But to my surprise, and the surprise of my friend, he brought me the Bhagavad Gita, as it is. And he said, "You know, I've had this book for years. I'm never going to read it. You can take it and you can give it to somebody else that might read it." So we tried to encourage him. No. You know, someday you might read it. You know, books are patient. You know, it'll wait for you. He said, "Nah, I'm never going to read it." So we reluctantly took it. So then a car pulled up in the driveway of this residence. It's an apartment complex. So I thought, well, maybe this person will take it. So he came out of his car and I showed him the Bhagavad Gita and explained it to him. And he said, yeah, this is interesting. Yeah, I'd like to have it. And I just said, yeah, we asked for a donation. He said, yeah, I'll give you a donation. So there was two apartments there. But with the Bhagavad Gita that I showed him, he went back into the same apartment that the Bhagavad Gita had just come out of. His roommate was the person that gave us the Bhagavad Gita. So my friend and myself were praying to Krishna, "Please, Krishna, don't let his friend see him with the Bhagavad Gita. Please, don't let him see the Bhagavad Gita in his friend's hands." We're praying like that. And then he came back a couple minutes later, gave us a donation, and we left very quickly. So you can imagine his response when he sees the Bhagavad Gita again back in his home, back in the apartment. So the moral of the story is, when Krishna doesn't want to leave, he doesn't leave. So many interesting things happen. I heard one story there was these two thieves. They were in a house. They were brothers. And they were in a house to steal in the house. They were looking around the house to steal something. And a car drove up in the driveway. So they said to each other, "All right, let's get out of here. Come on, let's go." So on the way out, one of the brothers, he saw a book on the table. So he thought, well, might as well get something. Might as well steal something. So he grabbed the book. And he went in. And they left the house. And as they're driving away in the getaway car, he starts looking at the book. And his brother says, "I can't believe you stole a book. What do you do when you're stealing a book?" "Well, I like to read. Maybe it's a good book." "Yeah. I can't believe you stole a book." So he starts reading it. He takes it home. And you know, every once in a while he's looking at the book and checking it out. And he's starting to show some interest. And he tells his brother, "Hey, listen to this. This is pretty amazing stuff." So they started getting very interested in the Bhagavad Gita. In the back of the book, you know, the one that stole the book, he finished it, and he saw the address in the back of the book. So he went to the temple to see what the people are about. And he liked the devotees, and he liked the philosophy, he liked everything about it. started visiting every Sunday, and eventually became a devotee. And his brother also became a devotee. So this is the power of these books. They're thieves. Became devotees. Of course, they gave up their occupation of stealing. Krishna stole their heart. You see? So this is the power of these books. It changes people's lives. So many. Radhanath Swami, he told me of an interesting story that happened with him. You know, he used to travel all over America preaching at the colleges. And the way he used to travel was he would hitchhike. Do you all know what hitchhiking means? You all know what hitchhiking means? That's where you put your thumb out. And that means that you're trying to... cars are driving by, and that means you want a ride from a car. And sometimes people stop, and they give you a ride. So that's how he used to travel. And in the early days, all the devotees used to travel like that. Because we didn't have cars. We would hitchhike. So he was hitchhiking from some program he was having back to the temple, New Vrindavan. So he got picked up by one man. And he asked this man, "Have you ever heard of Krishna?" He said, "Oh yes, Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Really? Wow. "What else do you know about Krishna?" He said, "Oh, Krishna, he's the most beautiful person." "What else do you... how do you know all this? How do you live your life knowing this?" He said, "Well, I don't gamble, I don't take intoxication, and no meat eating, no illicit sex." He's shocked. Radhanath Swami's shocked. He said, "How did you find out about Krishna and these regular principles? How is that? How did it happen?" He said, "Well, I was at a store and I was eating a watermelon. It was a really good watermelon. I was eating it over a bin, but it fell into the trash. Now, generally, I wouldn't do this, but it was a really good watermelon. So I reached into the trash to get the watermelon. And I pulled out a Bhagavad Gita. I thought, what is this? Bhagavad Gita. So I like to read, so I took it home. I read it 3 times. And from reading the Bhagavad Gita, I came to understand that Krishna is God. And now I just want to devote my life to the service of God." So Radhanath Swami was amazed. And so Radhanath Swami told him, "You know, I'm a devotee of Krishna." And he was surprised. He said, "Really? You're a devotee of Krishna?" He said, "Yeah, I'm going to the temple right now." He said, "You're going to the temple? There's a temple nearby here?" He said, "Yeah." "Can I take you there?" "Sure. It's a good ride." So they started talking. He asked him, "So what kind of work do you do?" He said, I'm a welder." So Radhanath Swami couldn't... "You're a welder?" They were just building New Vrindavan at that time. And he said, "You know, we need welders." He said, "Really? Wow. You see? Krishna's in control." So he had all this welding equipment and $20,000 worth of welding equipment that he donated. And he said, "You know, I also have some money that I would like to donate. Can I donate it to you?" "Sure." Yeah. Gave $5,000 right there. Yeah. So this is all from getting a Bhagavad Gita from the trash. Some people are not interested. They throw it in the trash. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't end in the trash. You never know what's going to happen. There was one man, he was with his dog. And he was in one forest walking his dog. And the dog, he stopped to smell something. So the master, he was trying to pull this dog away, but he couldn't pull him away. He was sniffing at something. He said, "What are you?" So he moved the leaves around, and there's a book. It's a Krishna book. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this person thought, "What is this? Krishna? What is this Krishna?" So he sat down and he started reading the Krishna book and found it to be interesting. So he took it home and he read it and he found out about the devotees and became a devotee. Became a big book distributor. I think this may have been the first time in history that a dog was a Varma Padarshika guru. So he's still distributing books. Wonderful devotee. In Estonia, there was one young man who was engaging in many illegal activities. So he decided that if I don't leave the country, eventually the police were going to catch me. So he decided to leave the country. And when he left, he started looking into spirituality. And eventually he became very much interested in trying to understand who God is. You know, what is the goal of life? So it became a spiritual journey. So he was talking to a lot of people about spiritual life and God and the soul. And again, people said, "You know, you want to know so much about God and the soul and spiritual life. You should go to India. That's where you'll find out about yoga and God and soul." So he heard this so much that he decided to go to India. He's traveling around India. And he gets one of Prabhupada's books, Science of Self-Realization. And from reading the Science of Self-Realization, he was able to understand that Krishna is God. So he went to the temple. And the temple he went to was right here. Chaupati. This is many, many years ago. Maybe 20 years ago. And he liked the devotees so much. He liked the temple so much. And eventually he was able to move into the ashram. But after about 3 years of living in the ashram, he decided to call his mother. And he was talking to her for a while. And then he said, "Oh, by the way, I'm a monk now." There was silence for a long time. And then she said, "Excuse me, what did you say?" "I'm a monk." She said, "I can't believe you're a monk." I said, "Yeah, I've been a monk for 3 years." "You're a monk? Well, what kind of a monk are you?" He said, "I'm a Hare Krishna monk." She said, "Well, Hari Bol." And he said, "How do you know Hari Bol?" She said, "I'm a devotee too." He said, "How did you become a devotee?" "Well, devotees were going door to door and they sold me a Bhagavad Gita. So I liked it and I visited the temple and I'm an initiated devotee now." And he was still a bhakta. So we never know what's going to happen when we distribute books. But what we should know, which is very important, that we just get the books out. That we get the books out to the people. And they will benefit so much. Just as we benefited so much from getting these books, from getting this knowledge. It's so important. And people want these books. I was distributing books one time in the airport. And I approached one family. Husband, wife, and little daughter, maybe 8 years old. And the lady really wanted the book. So she told her husband, "Please buy this book for me. I want to read this book." And he said, "Nah, you're not going to read it. You know, it's just going to It's going to sit in the bookshelf. You're never going to read it. Come on, let's go. Let's catch our flight. She said, no, you don't understand. I really want to read this book. You know, I'm interested. Please, get this book for me. No, come on, we're going to miss our flight. Let's go. She became very angry and she just walked away. And now it's just a little girl and the husband standing there. And the little girl looks up at her father and says, Daddy, I hate you. And you know, to hear that, I mean, many of you are fathers, that's a heavy thing to hear from the daughter, you know. So he felt real bad. So he reached into his pocket and gave $10 to me. And then the little girl, she grabbed the book and she's running down the aisle in the airport. Mommy, I got the book. It's okay. I hope that didn't mess up their marriage. Right? So there's people that really, really, really want these books. People that they're searching for these books. I was in Brisbane distributing Bhagavad Gita, and I was showing the Bhagavad Gita to one man. And a person was walking by, and he saw the Bhagavad Gita. And he said to me, excuse me, I've been looking for a Bhagavad Gita for a long time. Do you know where I can get one of those? I said, yeah, you can get one right here. So I just handed it to him. So we just asked for donation. And the person that I'm showing it to, he's a little stunned. So the person gave me a nice donation, and then this person was inspired to get the Bhagavad Gita also. So there's people that are looking for this knowledge, people that are looking for the truth. And there's a lot of other spiritual movements out there, right? You know, here in Bombay, so many groups. So if we don't go out and give this knowledge to them, then they're going to go on to some other spiritual group. And as we all know, Mata Paratranang Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya Mai Saram Irang Pradam Sutre Manigan Ayiva. Krishna says, there's no truth superior to me. Everything is resting on me. So somehow, by the mercy of Krishna, we have the highest truth, which is there in the Bhagavad Gita. So we should want to give it out to others. Try to help the people. They're suffering. And we have the cure for all disease, all problems. Just like imagine if there was a doctor here in Bombay that had the cure for all types of cancer. That would be huge news. That would be top news. That would be front page news all over the world. Doctor has found cure for all types of cancer. That would be the biggest news on the planet, right? But imagine if this doctor then decides to go on a cruise, on a Pacific cruise for 6 months, and not give out the medicine to the people. That would be the next front page news. Doctor has found cure for all types of cancer. Doesn't give it out, goes on cruise for 6 months in the Pacific. You know, it would be considered criminal, right? It would be amazing that he found these cures, but it would be criminal for him to not give it out to others, right? So, believe it or not, we have the cure for all types of cancer right here in our books. Because if you go to the spiritual world, there's no cancer there. There's no disease. There's no old age. There's no death. It's Vaikuntha. There's no anxiety. So when we distribute books, we're given an opportunity for people to go back to the spiritual world. These are tickets to the spiritual world. Right? Very inexpensive. 100 rupees. Yeah. For a ticket to the spiritual world. It's a long ways away. You know, Lord Chaitanya has come and slashed the prices. Yeah. Special deals. Yeah. So we should understand how important this is and give this knowledge out to others. There's one program that's happening now all over the world in our ISKCON society. It's called the Monthly Sankirtan Festival. And what this is that devotees of the congregation, like you, once a month they go out for maybe 2 or 3 hours and distribute Prabhupada's books. And there's a devotee named Vaisheshika Prabhu who started this in California. And there's about maybe 300 devotees at her congregation. So they go out once a month and they do a large amount of books. They didn't only go out for 2 or 3 hours, but if you have a lot of people doing a little, it becomes a lot. Right? So there's not one devotee that lives in the temple, in this San Jose temple. But they're the number two temple in America. It's all done by congregation. And they're so happy distributing Prabhupada's books. So some of them are so happy that they also go on the weekend, and they're called the weekend warriors. Yeah. So this is going on all over the world, this monthly Sankirtan festival, just going out for 2 or 3 hours, you know, one day out of the month. It's very good. So I spoke to the Sankirtan leader here in Chapati, Baladev Prabhu. Baladev is here? Okay. Baladev, where? Where is he? Where? Oh, he's coming. Okay. So I highly encourage you to do this activity. This is the real welfare activity. Just like when there's an emergency, when we had this tsunami. So many doctors and so many volunteers, they flew from other countries to help in this emergency situation. So many doctors from America and Europe and India also, they're flying there to help in this emergency situation. So it's an emergency right now because everybody on the planet practically is in Maya. It's an emergency. It's an epidemic. Everybody is in Maya. And we have the way for people to get out of Maya by giving people these books. So we should feel like it's an emergency. We should feel that it's so important that we get this knowledge out to the people. And people will benefit. I guarantee you. Prabhupada said if people just touch these books, they benefit. If they just see a Sankirtan devotee, they benefit. They just read one line, it can change their life. So it's so important that we get this knowledge out to the people. And here we have Baladev Prabhu. Please stand up. So if you're interested in getting involved in this monthly Sankirtan festival, please see Baladev Prabhu. Here in New Delhi, in the last marathon, 2,700 devotees went on the marathon distributing books. They did huge, hundreds of thousands of books. They're the number one temple in the world, except for last year, Mayapur beat them. For the last 8 years, New Delhi has been the number one temple in the world because they're focused on this very important activity of distributing books. Yeah. But Mayapur, last year somehow, I guess they got inspired with the temple of the Vedic Planetarium coming up. And also Jayapataka Swami, during the marathon, he was calling devotees all over the Bangladesh and around there and West Bengal, encouraging the book distributors and book distribution. So he's also very much into book distribution. So they were able to defeat New Delhi. So Mumbai is bigger than New Delhi. I think you have even more congregation maybe. I don't know. Big congregation here. So I highly encourage you to get involved in this wonderful activity of book distribution. It's just wonderful. I don't want to stop distributing books. Because it's so nice to give people the absolute truth. And I'll tell you an amazing thing that happened. This is going to really amaze you. Back in 1970, one young lady got one of Prabhupada's books. And she read it. And she was amazed. She was thinking, this is the most amazing information I've ever read in my life. And I want everybody to know about it. How can I get this knowledge out to the people? She had never met a devotee before. She had gotten the book from a friend. But she was just so inspired by that book. She was just thinking, how can I give it out to the people? Of course, Krishna fulfilled her desires. She met a devotee, heard about the temple. She went to the temple, became a devotee very quickly, and then she heard about book distribution. She started distributing books. Now, 45 years later, she's still distributing books. And you know what she told me? She said she wants to distribute books to her last breath. Okay? This is the power of these books. And this is the effect on a very sincere soul. Her name is Devi Shakti. Maybe some of you know her. Lives in Vrindavan now, distributing books. Prabhupada one time said, nothing can stop this movement. It's too late. Because the books are out there. Nothing can stop this movement now. And I'll tell you something to confirm that. In Russia, there was one man that was going on a spiritual search, and he was in a library, and he found a Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. And when he read this Srimad Bhagavatam, there was one purport where he said this, where Prabhupada says, this knowledge is so valuable it should be distributed throughout the world. And those who are distributing these books, they benefit in a very high degree. So this person was so inspired by the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, I think it was a science of self-realization. I take that back. Science of self-realization. He was a businessman, so he had some money. So he decided that I'm going to print these books out myself. So he went to the printer, and he had 100 books printed. And he was distributing books in this city, in Russia. So he was distributing for a few days, and then a Sankirtan team showed up from another city. And as they were distributing, some of the people were saying, no, I already got one of these books. And the devotees were thinking, oh, there's already some Sankirtan devotees here. So they thought, anyway, we'll just continue distributing. So they were distributing. And then they came across this person who had never met a devotee before, that was distributing books. And they went up to him and they said, oh, Hari Bo Prabhu. And he said, Hari Bo Prabhu, what does that mean? You're distributing books and you don't know what Hari Bo Prabhu means? No. How are you distributing books? He said, well, I found this book in a library, and it's so nice. And in the book, it said that this knowledge should be distributed. So I went and I printed some books, and I'm distributing. And they were shocked, completely shocked, that from just reading Prabhupada's books, he became a book distributor. So then they started preaching to him and telling him about the temples around Russia. And now he was shocked that there was temples not very far from him. So he started visiting the temples and became a devotee. And now he's a book distributor still. So this is the power. This is proof. Yeah. It's too late. The books are out there. He became a devotee from never meeting a devotee. Just from reading Prabhupada's books. And there's no material impediment. In Russia, there's a devotee. He's a big book distributor, very successful book distributor, no arms. He has no arms. A devotee at the temple puts a backpack on his shoulder with books in it, and he talks to people and says, "Hey, I have some nice books." He can't even go like this because he has no arms. He says, "I have books in the backpack. Please look." And we just ask for donations. He's so sincere that he sells so many books like that. No arms. There was another devotee that was blind. Couldn't see. But he would go out on book distribution. He passed away a couple of years ago. But for years he was distributing books blind. So there's no material impediment. We all have eyes. We all have arms. So it might be much easier for us to distribute books. Yes? So I hope I've encouraged you. I pray to Krishna that I've encouraged you to get involved in this wonderful activity of book distribution. This is our family business. Our ISKCON family business is book distribution. This is how this movement has spread all over the world. And this is why Prabhupada said, "If you want to please me, distribute books." Please repeat after me. If you want to please me, please distribute books. So I hope you're able to get involved in this wonderful activity. So on that note, are there any questions or comments that we can take? Yes, Prabhu. Speak loudly. You're very welcome. Is there a microphone for him? The microphone is just now coming.
Prabhuji, thank you very much for sharing such wonderful nectar, especially that past time, you know, when the one roommate gave the Bhagavad Gita to you, back to you, and immediately the other roommate came and he got it back. That was really wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, when Krishna wants to say no, nobody can throw him out of questions. Now, would you please share some chanting of the holy name past time, if you have gone on a kirtan and you had some good experience, because you know our movement is both the distributing books and also doing kirtan.
Okay, so thank you. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said there's two types of devotees. There's the Bhajananandi and there's the Gostiyanandi. The Bhajananandi, he likes to sit and chant Hare Krishna. The Gostiyanandi likes to go out and give the holy name to others. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the best devotee is the Bhajananandi that likes to preach. So that's Srila Prabhupada. He loved to chant Hare Krishna. And that's what he did first in New York City. You know, he went to that Thompson Square Park under the tree and he would chant. For hours he would chant. But the best way to increase the chanting of Hare Krishna is by book distribution. Because personally, I started chanting Hare Krishna from reading Bhagavad Gita. I had never met a devotee, but I was chanting Hare Krishna all day long from reading Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur calls book distribution the Brihat Mridanga. This Mridanga here, you have good Mridanga players here, but they could only hear maybe one block away. Even a really good Mridanga player, even you're banging it real hard, maybe they could hear it one block away. But the Brihat Mridanga, book distribution, I've had the experience. I distributed books in the airports in America for 14 years. Many people I distributed books to in the airport, they would go to their country across the Pacific, across the Atlantic, and they would become devotees. Yeah. So when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was here, there was no planes. But he knew, so somehow he had, he knew that so many people would be getting books. It would be, books would be flying across oceans and across countries, going in different countries like this by book distribution. So this is the big kirtan, book distribution. Okay? And actually, the way to distribute books is we have to have good sadhana. You see, book distribution gives impetus to have good sadhana, because purity is the force. That's how we distribute books, by our purity. Prabhupada said, it's by the sincerity of my disciples that the books are distributed. So, if you want to distribute books, you have to be sincere. And to be sincere, you have to chant good japa. You have to read Prabhupada's books. Right? So, that's another very, very nice aspect of book distribution. You have to rise to the occasion. Because it's not easy. You're going out there to convince people to take a book. Sometimes it's very easy. Sometimes it's not so easy. So this gives impetus for you to be more sincere in your Krishna consciousness. To chant better japa. To really absorb yourself in Prabhupada's books. Yes. Microphone. Microphone for this gentleman here.
Sir, what is the difference between Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavad Gita
by and other Bhagavad Gitas?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The language is different.
Before Prabhupada went to America, there was already hundreds of Bhagavad Gitas translated into English. But nobody became a devotee of Krishna. When Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita went to America, thousands of devotees of Krishna manifest. I read the Bhagavad Gita and that was it. I was completely convinced Krishna is God. Completely. So these other Bhagavad Gitas, you could call them Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. Because they're not really giving the essence of the teachings of the Gita. You see, in order to translate and give the clear understanding of Krishna's teachings in the Bhagavad Gita, you have to love Krishna. And Prabhupada had that qualification. Prabhupada loved Krishna. Therefore, he didn't change. He didn't change the teachings. So many people, they change the teachings. Dr. Radhakrishna, it's not unto Krishna that you must surrender, but unto the unborn within Krishna. You know, Mayavadi. Yeah. Even Gandhi, he said, I don't know if Krishna existed. And he said the Pandavas were the five senses and Kurukshetra was the body. You know, he thought it was just an analogy. Yeah. A speculation. But Prabhupada had total 100% love for Krishna. And therefore, all over the world, people have become devotees of Krishna from reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. Okay?
Little difficult in this language, Bhasha Shaili.
Huh?
The language is not difficult in Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita?
No. We have editors. Devotees edited what Prabhupada wrote. Of course, that made it easier to understand. But what made it very easy to understand is just Prabhupada was connected. He just knew how to present the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. You know, he was extremely devotional and extremely intelligent. Therefore, Bhakti Vedanta. He had so much devotion and so much knowledge. It's a very good combination. So this is why Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. Because Prabhupada was so sincere and so knowledgeable. I'll tell you one interesting pastime. You want to hear another pastime of Prabhupada? Very nice pastime, my favorite. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it stated, Priti Viti Acha Yata Nagaradigram Sarvata Pachori Hoya Moina, that the name, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be spread in every town and village around the world. So there was one god brother of Prabhupada who read this and he couldn't understand, how is this possible? Every town and village in the world, that Lord Chaitanya's name will be heard? How is this possible? So Prabhupada had a flat in Calcutta and he would sometimes invite devotees and they would have satsangas in his flat. So there was about 6 devotees there and they were discussing Krishna Katha. So this one devotee had this doubt about, how is it possible that Lord Chaitanya's name will be in every town and village? So he was asking all the devotees there and he was getting different responses. And then when he got to Abhay Babu, Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, yes, we have to have firm faith in scripture that this will happen. And this devotee was impressed. Prabhupada, he was most impressed with Prabhupada's statement that we have to have firm faith that this will happen. It's scripture. So he was very impressed. So this was back in the 30s, maybe 1933 or so, something like that. Fast forward, 1971. This same godbrother of Prabhupada's, he's in one village in India, and he sees a Western devotee, Caucasian, like me. So he went up to him and he said, excuse me, which country are you from? He said, I'm from America. You're from America. But you have tilak and sika and saffron, japa. How'd that happen? What happened? Oh, that's the mercy of my guru. I said, oh, and who is your guru? So he had a book and he showed the picture of Prabhupada. So this god brother is looking at the picture. He said, Abhay, Abhay Babu, Abhay Babu, you did it. You did it. See the Prabhupada key. So Prabhupada did it. And he's still doing it. He's still doing it. He's still making devotees all over the world. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die while still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live. And living spread the holy name around. So Prabhupada is very much alive. And we want to introduce Prabhupada to more and more and more people all over here in Mumbai. Does that sound like a good plan? You see, Krishna has his plan and we have our plan. Krishna's plan is better than our plan. So we should get this knowledge out to the people. And the result will be more people will come to get darshan of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, they're so happy to see more souls coming. This is increases their pleasure. So we want to increase the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. That will increase your pleasure also. So maybe if there's one more question. Okay, yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, you have been traveling all over the world, encouraging devotees to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And you have been also meeting various congregation devotees with different circumstances in that country. So I would like to ask you, can you share, in Mumbai here, most of the devotees in congregation who are here, they always have a small, they all want to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, but the major hitch they have is, for 6 days a week, they are working morning to evening, travel all the way, long distance. So in these circumstances, if since you have visited all over the world, have you met other congregation devotees who remote time or have some ideas of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books nonetheless? For 6 days a week they are busy. Seventh day they come here for associating with devotees.
Very good question. Thank you. So this is why this is one day a month. Because I know many of you are working, you know, 6 days a week. You're working all day long. It's hard. Find time. So if you just have one day where you're distributing 2 hours, just 2 hours, you can distribute books in that time. So if you have a lot of you doing that, you can distribute a lot of books. In San Jose, they're the number two temple in the country. And no one lives in the temple. It's all congregation. Because there's a lot of devotees doing a little. So that's good. Krishna's pleased. You can't be full-time book distributors. You have your responsibilities. You have your family responsibilities. But at least you can do something. Something is not nothing. Right? If you can do something. And even I'll tell you a very nice pastime of Krishna. Beautiful pastime in relation to this. Before the battle at Kurukshetra between the Kurus and the Pandavas, Krishna decided to try to stop the war. So he went to Vidura before he went to Hastinapur, and he said, I'm going to go and speak to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana and try to convince them to share the land, to share, let's just avoid this war and just share it equally. So Vidura said, Krishna, please don't go. Please don't go, because they're not going to accept your proposal, and they may even be offensive. So Krishna responded with his transcendental nature. He said, the wise have said that anyone that goes out of their way to perform a virtuous activity, even if he is not successful in his attempt, still he receives the merit. So in other words, even if you go out to distribute books and you don't distribute one book, still, you receive the merit. Krishna's a good boss. If you have a boss and you get no result all day long, what happens? You're fired. Right? Finished. Krishna won't fire you. On the contrary, if you're sincerely trying to distribute books and you don't distribute one book, Krishna is so pleased with you. He's so pleased with you because you tried. That's Krishna. He's so kind. So please, go out and try. And I guarantee you, you'll get some result. You may go through some periods where it's a little difficult, but that's good. That's purification. Austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas. Austerity is good. Very good. It's very good. It's healthy. It helps us become purified. So please, I beg you, get involved in this activity of book distribution, and you'll find that your spiritual life will just rise like it's never risen before. You can just steadily, just once a month, go out for 2 hours. Not that much. 2 hours once a month. How much is that? That's 24 hours a year. That's only one day for the whole year. Not much. But just that 2 hours of all of you going out, you get the whole congregation. And you might beat New Delhi. Who knows? Lord, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath can do anything. Right? You have a big congregation. How much congregation? How many devotees? 2,500. So if you get all 2,500 going out for just 2 hours out of the month, woohoo! So many books will go out. And Radha Gopinath will be so pleased. And when you come and you dance before the deities, you're so happy. Your soul will be dancing too. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So let us thank His Grace Vijay Prabhu for coming all the way here and inspiring us with this book distribution talk. Let us thank Him by 3 times loudly chanting.